The reading is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, and this can be found in page 1195 of the Pew Bible. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men, will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying. The Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself.
Thank you so much, Will. Please do keep that passage open. On your yellow insert to your service sheet, you'll find a sermon outline on the backside, which you may find helpful. Now, imagine you're about to embark on climbing Mount Everest. Now, you'd probably be feeling pretty nervous about it, maybe a bit of excitement as well. But you're also aware that you're going to have an instructor, your Sherpa. Your Sherpa is there to help you, to pass on all his knowledge of the mountain. Now you start the journey, and you've reached the first difficult climb. It's a painful one. Your toes are freezing. Your muscles are cramping up because of the lack of oxygen. But your instructor reminds you to endure it, to remain strong. Well, you get to the top of the first climb there, and you're thinking of giving up. Enduring this suffering is almost unbearable. But the shepherd turns to you and says that the view at the top of the mountain is totally glorious. Don't give up, or you'll never see it. Now, in this passage today, there is a similar situation. Timothy is not climbing Mount Everest, but there would be a temptation for him to give up on his ministry. Now, this passage is aimed for those who are trusting Jesus. And you might be here today and not doing that. Well, please don't switch off. Because what you'll see will give you a glimpse of what the Christian life is like. So let's jump in. Paul is in chains. We've seen that from the previous chapter. And there's this landslide of Christian ministers departing from his side. We read in chapter 1 that Phygellus and Hermogenes have deserted him. And many more. These people have become ashamed of Jesus and are no longer preaching the gospel. So as Paul witnesses this going on around him, he turns to Timothy, a young man who's followed him closely, who's witnessed his ministry. And now Timothy is engaging in his own ministry in Ephesus. And whilst there is this movement to desert the gospel, Paul makes two pleas to Timothy. And the first is this: be strong and endure suffering. Be strong and endure suffering. Desertion is occurring. People are becoming ashamed of the gospel. But Paul, at the end of chapter 1, flags up Onesiphorus, a man who stood by Paul and continued to preach the gospel, a man who didn't go with the flow, but resisted. And in light of this, Paul says to Timothy, in verse 1 of chapter 2, "You then, my son, be strong." Timothy needs to be strong, like Onesiphorus, remaining by his side, not deserting Paul, but remaining strong. Now, if I was Timothy, I'd probably start flexing my muscles, start looking within myself to psych myself up for the battle. But how does Paul say Timothy should be strong? He continues, look down. Be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. He says to Timothy, in this desertion that is occurring, stay strong not in your own strength, but look to the grace of our Lord Jesus. Look to all that He's achieved for you, and use that to compel you to remain strong. And as he strengthens himself in Christ, Paul sets out what he would like Timothy to do. And the first is this, he wants Timothy to pass on the truth. To pass on the truth. Look down to verse 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Paul wants Timothy to teach others who will then teach others. This desertion is occurring, so Paul wants Timothy to look for teachers, teachers that are reliable and qualified. Now you might be thinking, what do qualified teachers look like? Well, I think it's all that Paul has previously mentioned. These teachers must not be ashamed of Christ. They must continue to preach Christ in the face of the conflict and suffering that they will inevitably face. He doesn't want teachers like Phygellus and Hermogenes. He wants teachers like Onesiphorus. So as Timothy leads this church in Ephesus, he needs to train and equip teachers, teachers who will carry on preaching the gospel. Now, just as this was a priority for Timothy then, it is a priority for ministers to be doing that now. Andy and Piers should be spending their time looking for future leaders and then training them. Having dipped my toe into ministry, I know there are so many things that ministers could be doing. But a priority for them should be equipping future leaders so that the gospel is passed on. So as they do this, do please pray for them. Pray that they won't be distracted by other things and that they would prioritize this area of ministry. But for all of us here today, passing on the gospel is crucial. We need reliable teachers. So for us here gathered today, I want to plant a thought in your mind. Should you be considering full-time gospel ministry? Now, maybe that's something you want to discuss further. Please do grab Andy or Piers or myself after. We'd love to talk about it further. So Timothy is to look to equip and train these future leaders for the safeguarding of the gospel. But Paul also wants him to do another thing. Not be deterred. And we see that in verses 3 to 7. Not be deterred. So this desertion is occurring. Timothy would feel the increasing pressure to give up. Paul has stated that suffering for the gospel is inevitable for those who preach Christ. This has been Paul's experience. And he says to Timothy that this will be your experience too if you stand firm. And in chapter 1 we saw that Paul calls Timothy to join him in the suffering. And we see this again in chapter 2. Look down to verse 3. Paul asks Timothy to endure hardship with us. Paul wants him to join him. But he also asks Timothy to endure it. And as he does this, Paul helpfully gives Timothy three pictures to illustrate how this endurance will look. And the first of these pictures is that of a soldier. A soldier who will not get involved in civilian affairs, but rather serve his officer. Now, it would be ridiculous in our eyes, wouldn't it, if a commissioned soldier who's on tour decided that instead of fighting, they were going to go and join the local Afghan bowls club. Or they went to the pub when they should be fighting. It would totally distract the soldier. His intention is to fight and serve his commanding officer. And Timothy's ministry should not be filled with distractions. He should avoid worldly affairs. His goal should be to battle for Christ and to serve the Lord. The temptation going on for Timothy around him would be to uproot and to fill his ministry with distractions. But Paul wants him to endure like a soldier, purely serving his master. Paul then continues with two other pictures. We see an athlete. Timothy must not cheat. He needs to play within the rules. He must not cheat the gospel by twisting it to make it more palatable. The temptation for him might be to leave out sin or judgment. But if he does this, there'll be no crown. And he's to be like a hard-working farmer. Timothy could be tempted to become lazy. But he must persist like a farmer. He must work hard. And as he works hard, a great crop will be his reward. So as Timothy suffers, Paul wants him to reflect on these images, on these things, with the help from the Lord, to remind himself that he needs to endure like a soldier, athlete, and farmer, so that the gospel is protected. And this is probably another qualification for those future teachers Timothy should be looking for. They should be willing to endure the suffering that will inevitably come. So please do pray for Andy and Piers as they lead our churches. Standing firm in the gospel will bring about suffering. But pray that they would endure, that they wouldn't be distracted by worldly affairs, but concentrate on the battle ahead of them. Pray that they would not cheat anyone of the gospel, but show integrity. And pray that they would work hard, striving to proclaim the gospel. Now, there's a real need to pray for church leaders globally at the moment. This last week, there was a large gathering of Anglican ministers in Jerusalem, which Andy picked up on at GAFCON, the conference was called. And these ministers are striving to join in the suffering and to be strong and endure. But these ministers are, in fact, in the minority in the Anglican community. A landslide is occurring now, just like them. There are church leaders around the world who are ashamed of Christ, who are cheating people of the gospel to make it more attractive. So can I urge you to pray for them also? We need gospel ministers who are willing to suffer. But Paul's plea to Timothy is also for all believers of Christ. Jesus commanded all people to go to all nations. All of us are involved in gospel ministry. And when that suffering comes, Paul tells us to remain strong, strong in grace. Not let distractions get in our way. To not cheat people of the gospel to make it more attractive. And to keep working like a hard-working farmer. Now, if you're anything like me, there could be a great temptation when chatting to friends to remove parts of the gospel which I think or know will bring about suffering. Perhaps I avoid talking about sin. Or perhaps I avoid the topic of homosexual marriage. And I'm unwilling to engage because I know that it will involve suffering as I stand firm in the gospel. But friends, just like Timothy's day, people are departing from the gospel. Are you willing to endure it and be strong and to pass on the gospel message? It will be costly and it will be hard, but let's look to endure. And as we do that, Paul gives Timothy another plea, a plea which will help him endure. He needs to remember. And there are a number of things that he wants him to remember. And the first is this: Timothy, remember that Christ's suffering has led to your salvation. Christ's suffering has led to your salvation. Look down to verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. What about Jesus does Paul want Timothy to remember? Well, Paul uses two phrases: raised from the dead and descended from David. Now, they've been used very deliberately by Paul here. Firstly, let's look at descended from David. This highlights Jesus' ancestral line. He is the long-awaited promised king. He arrived as a baby in a manger, but he's the divine king who ruled perfectly. But he was also raised from the dead. For Jesus to come back to life, he had to die. He died at the hands of suffering so he could take our sin. And when he suffered, he endured it. He endured it for us so that we wouldn't have to face God's anger. Paul is saying to Timothy, remember Jesus. Remember who he is. Remember what he has done for you. Paul states that this is his gospel, his good news, but it is also Timothy's good news. And when suffering comes for Timothy, Paul wants him to endure by remembering Jesus' suffering. Now, you would have thought that this was probably pretty obvious to Timothy then, but it clearly shows us that remembering Jesus is vital. A full-time gospel worker here, Timothy, is told to remember Jesus. And that is true for gospel ministers today. For gospel workers to endure, they need to remember Jesus. Remember him, his character and nature. But also that he is alive today because he died for you. It is good news. Today, are you struggling to keep going? Because you've got bored of Jesus. You've heard the gospel hundreds of times. You've heard what he's done for you. You can recite the gospel willy-nilly with no problems. Well, go back to him. Look at Jesus. Look at his character. Now, we've been doing that during the Matt Searles evenings. He's encouraged us to do that, to not only look at what Jesus has achieved, which is totally glorious, but also to look at him, to look at his character, to get to know him better. We cannot have enough of Jesus. Remember him. But Paul gives another reason to Timothy why it's worth enduring. It is worth it because suffering for Jesus will lead to the salvation of others. Suffering for Jesus will lead to the salvation of others. Look down to verse 10. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul is in prison, and he's there because he preached Christ. But he knows that without him preaching Christ, others would have not heard the gospel. And as he sits in prison there, he knows that his suffering has led to others being saved. And the reason for this is because nothing can stop God's word. Suffering for him will not stop God from saving people. So as Timothy endures this suffering, Paul is saying, look at me. I'm in prison, chained, suffering for Christ. But I know that my suffering for him has meant others could hear and receive the gospel, because nothing can stop God's word. Friend, isn't this a huge encouragement for us today? When we mention the gospel to our colleagues or family and receive flack for it, God will work. They cannot chain his work. We need to share the gospel so that they can hear it. But we need to know that when we suffer for it, there will be some that receive salvation because we were willing to suffer. If you want evidence for that today, look at the church in China. Christians there face fierce persecution and suffering. In 1949, there were 4 million Christians there. Today, there are 97 million Christians. People who were willing to suffer for Christ. And as they did this, each day, people were receiving salvation. And this is a global trend. Where there is gospel suffering, there is gospel growth. So Paul says to Timothy, suffering like me and sharing the gospel will lead to the salvation of others. Keep enduring. Paul gives one final thing he wants Timothy to remember. And that is, our suffering will lead to future glory. Our suffering will lead to future glory. Look down to verse 11. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. if we endure, we will also reign with him. Now, these concluding three verses that we see here are probably a creed or a song that would have been sung in the churches then. I'm sure they would have been probably well known to Timothy. But Paul reminds him that suffering is totally, totally worth it. He's saying to Timothy, as Christ hung and died, he died the death that you should have. And because he did that, you can now live. But Timothy also, if you endure, you can know that one day you will reign with Jesus. You'll be with him in eternity. You'll have a share in the inheritance because you'll be reigning with Christ. Paul lifts Timothy's eyes up, away from the present suffering and gospel desertion that's happening around him. And he reminds him what's on the horizon. His endurance will lead to this, like an athlete receiving a crown for competing, and like a hard-working farmer receiving his crop. As Timothy endures as a minister of the gospel, he can know it is totally worth it. He will one day live and reign with Jesus. Do we share the same lens as Paul here? Many of us might be suffering right now for the gospel. But where do we look? Do we look down? Do we let our head drop? Or do we lift our head up and remind ourselves that this is our glorious future? Later we'll sing these words. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. Thine is the battle, thine shall be the praise. When passing through the gates of pearly splendor, victors we rest with thee through endless days. Friends, in the midst of enduring for Christ, remind yourself of what Christ has achieved. We will one day walk through the gates of pearly splendor, we will see Jesus, and we will reign with him. Doesn't this picture make you want to endure now? Now, this trustworthy message includes one final warning and encouragement to Timothy. He reminds him that disowning Christ will lead to being disowned, because God is faithful and he will disown you if you disown him. But it could also be seen as an encouragement to Timothy here. Remember, Timothy, that those who are departing and causing your suffering, they will one day face justice. They will be disowned. So as I conclude, in many ways the Christian life is like embarking on climbing Everest. We'll be tempted to give up. Suffering for the gospel will be inevitable. But as we make this journey, remember to look back, to look at what Christ has achieved for you. Look beside you. There are people on the same journey, and some of them are there because you are willing to suffer for the gospel so that they could hear it. And look forward. There is a glorious, glorious moment ahead. We will reach the summit, and at this summit we will live with Christ and reign with him forever. Keep enduring. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this letter to Timothy. We thank you that, Lord, in the midst of desertion, gospel desertion, Paul was willing to stand firm, to be strong. And Father, we pray for us in whatever areas of gospel ministry we're involved in, whether teaching children or others, or however it looks, Lord, please help us to stand firm, to be strong in grace. To not desert you, but to endure the suffering that comes. And we pray, Lord, that we would recognize what you have done for us, that you suffered for us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to know that as we endure this suffering and preach the gospel, others will be saved. And we pray also, Lord, that you would constantly remind us of the future glory to come. that one day we will live with you and we will reign with you. In Jesus' name, amen.